morning, and welcome to worship this morning. Glad to see each of you here, especially on this very cold morning. I feel like we should all sit in these center four sections just so we can get a little warmer and be together, but it is great to see you this morning, and welcome. I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity, and it is good to be with you this morning. I hope that if you are here for the first time, or if you are here all the time, that you will find Trinity to be a place that feels like home. And thus I say to you, welcome home. I do invite you, particularly if you are new, but even if you are here all the time, to fill out our Connect card. You'll find it in your bulletin, and you would be amazed at the ways that we use this and how helpful this is to us. So if you could give us as much information as you're comfortable providing if you are new, or if you're here on a regular basis, if you'll at least give us your name and your email each week, we sure do appreciate it. You can hold on to those and then put them in the offering plates later in the service this morning. I also want to invite you to remember to sign up for your Life Touch photos. We are doing a new church directory. We haven't done one in 10 years, and I'm sure it will be helpful to everyone. It will especially be helpful to us, and we would really appreciate it, but it will only be as effective as the number of people who have their photos taken. So please sign up to have your Life Touch photo taken. There'll be a place where you can sign up between the services this morning, or you can go online yourself at home, or just call into the office. That would be very helpful. This morning, as we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, we also are beginning a sermon series called Strength to Love. We pray and hope that this series will help us all to think about how we love one another and the relationships that Christ is calling us to be in. Now, as we do that today, the sermon will include some topics that might be for parents who might not want their children to be present. So if you do have children, and I don't see any children in here, but I would encourage them to go to Sunday school or to go to K-5 worship at 11 o'clock. Sometimes it's challenging to share the prophetic word that God is calling us to share. And so I invite you to pray for me and for us as we share this series. Let me invite you to stand up now and say hello to somebody. Then you can ponder all of that.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Follow we are here to worship you, who is one in spirit and truth. And so, as we encounter your presence this morning, Lord, make us one, bound together by love through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you join me in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed that you see before you on the screen? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the
We have an opportunity now to join together in prayer, taking our joys and our concerns to God. We want to remind you of those that we've been visiting in the hospitals or rehab. Right now, it's actually only rehab and a little bit beyond that. There's a few other things I wanted to share with you this morning. Many of you may know Amy Flanagan. She grew up here at this church and very suddenly died this past week in California. Her service will be held here this coming Saturday at 2:30, and we invite all of you to come and especially to be in prayer for her family and her friends. On a positive note, many of you may have seen in the pastor's message or on Facebook the good news that our family has. Erin has been discerning a call and now been selected to be a Navy chaplain in the reserves. And so he already served for almost 9 years in the Navy on submarines, and so this is going to bridge that service, and we are so excited for him. I grew up in the military, so it just feels like home, but we invite you to pay attention over the next 4 to 6 weeks. His commissioning service will actually be a worship service here, and we would love for all of you to come and attend. It'll be at a time other than on Sunday morning, so just stay tuned for that as soon as we can get it scheduled, and please pray for us. Thank you. There was one other piece. Steve and Erin are both with our youth, and we want to keep them in prayer because our youth went on a mystery trip this week, and they didn't know where they were going, but they went to Atlanta, and they have gone to the Civil and Human Rights Museum. They have walked the same walk that Martin Luther King walked. They spent time in his church, and they are now worshiping with a wonderful African-American community there within the Atlanta area. And so we pray blessings over them. Please continue to pray for their safe travel and that they will take away things that will forever shape their understanding of the value and sacred worth of every human being. As we go to God in prayer, I'll begin with a period of short silence so that you can lift up your concerns or joys to God. And then I will lead us in a time of prayer that is very much geared towards honoring the work of Martin Luther King Jr. in our country and beyond. So let's pray together. Lord, you alone created us and sustain us by your love and by your grace. From the moment we took our first breath, you have insisted that the addition of humanity is what makes creation very good. Yet for all the good that we have the capacity to bestow, we confess that we have misused our gifts and failed to do all the good that we can, let alone reflect your divine character in the world. Forgive us. We are grateful for those who have come before us or live among us, who have risen above the crowds to become symbols of hope and voices of prophetic passion for the oppressed and the outcast. From Moses to Christ, to Gandhi, to Martin Luther King Jr. and beyond. Thank you for their example that reminds us of your loving care for all people and all of creation. As we prepare to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, we praise you for those who shaped his life with the belief that all souls have sacred worth and importance in your eyes, and a conviction that spirit-led love and gentleness could turn violence and chaos into order and equality. We thank you for the dreams that filled his heart and continue to inspire us today, for his commitment to sacrifice that led him forward without regard for his own safety, and for his ultimate trust in you, that you would never abandon those who stand up for truth and righteousness in the world. We mourn the loss of his life, along with all those who have died in the course of seeking justice. May we honor their legacy by continuing the work you began in them until it is complete, until the day finally comes when the lion and the lamb lie down together, when children of all races and backgrounds play and grow together in harmony and trust, and when every life is valued and all creation is given the opportunity to thrive. Teach us to love all women and all men as our sisters and brothers, and to care as much for their welfare as we care about our own. Grant that heroes may continue to rise among us, pointing us towards moral clarity with their unremitting courage and passion for righteousness, that your name may always be honored. For those whose lives are in harm's way pursuing such goals, we pray for your blessings of protection upon them and blessings upon their families. Grant them wisdom, courage, and peace. For all whose lives have been impacted and their potential derailed due to injustice or prejudice of any kind, we pray for their healing and encouragement to keep pressing onward to become all that you created them to be. For all who are ill or in need of healing of any kind, we pray for your strength to be renewed so that they may soar like the eagles and run and not grow weary along the path you have set for them. Let the Spirit of Christ be in us all. Teach us truth and not error, and love and not hate. Grant that we may be ready, like your servant Martin Luther King Jr., to pay any price in the service of your kingdom. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God. as we worship with our offering, giving back to God out of all that He has so generously blessed our lives with, we want to give thanks to each of you for your generosity. The amount that we were able to collect for our Family Promise initiative over Christmas Eve has far exceeded what we expected. And so we will be able to bless those families that are seeking to transition from homelessness into homes, permanent homes, on a continuing basis. And we thank you for that. We also thank you for the ways that you continue to support the ministries of this church. And may we use those resources to be one in spirit, not only here within our walls, but well beyond our walls. Let's pray. God, we thank you for every gift that flows into our lives, and may we continue to hold on loosely to those gifts, freely offering them back to you so that you may use them at your disposal through your wisdom and through your spirit to eradicate injustice and to bring about wholeness and well-being for all. Continue to work in us so that we plant seeds for your kingdom.
Several weeks ago, we as a worship design team decided that we would begin a new worship series on this MLK weekend called Strength to Love. Strength to Love is the name of a collection of writings and sermons of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That collection includes sermons like Love in Action, Love Your Enemies, Paul's Letter to the American Church, and The Pilgrimage to Nonviolence, to name a few. While this sermon series is not specifically about those sermons certainly will inform what we say and share over the next few weeks. Reverend Cliff Patrick is also leading a Wednesday evening discussion group on some of those sermons, and if you would like to be a part of that, you are still welcome, and you can just come on Wednesday evening. You know, as we move into this series, we hope that there is, that as we talk about the strength to love during this time when there is so much that seems to divide people, we would let Christ lead us into more loving relationships with one another. This year, as a congregation, we're going to be focusing on deeper, and so we hope this series will take us deeper into our commitment to love through differences and across divisions. Jesus calls us to love, and we know that it takes courageous strength to truly live the love that Jesus embodied, to speak words of love modeled by Jesus. We know that with every passing day in the news, that the call to love is even more pertinent and imperative. Often gaining strength to love begins with relationship. It simply begins by getting to know one another, learning each other's stories, and inviting relationship. Our scripture reading for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter. It's a story that many of you are familiar with, if for no other reason than you sang the song when you were a child. It's the story of a wee little man named Zacchaeus. Interestingly, coincidentally or not, yesterday, as our teenagers were sitting in Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Jr. preached on a regular basis, they were listening to his voice preaching a sermon over the loudspeakers. The sermon happened to be on Zacchaeus. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read this story. Jesus entered Jerusalem and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay at your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he, too, is a son of Abraham, the human one, the Son of God, came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As you do each week, I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me this morning in sharing this message with you. And I will pray for you that God will give you ears to hear whatever it is that you need to hear. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Abraham Lincoln is attributed with this simple and powerful quote: "I don't like that man. I must get to know him better." How many of us have thought exactly the opposite? I don't like that man, and I want to spend as little time with him as possible. I don't like that man, and so I want to stay as far away from him as I possibly can. Zacchaeus was just that man in his community. He was not liked. He was small in stature. I picture him like a Danny DeVito. He was a very wealthy man, and while the wealthy in the Jewish community were typically respected and admired, Zacchaeus was hated. He was wealthy because he was a tax collector, actually the chief of the tax collectors, which meant that he was hired by the Roman government to hire others who hired others who hired others to go and collect taxes. And often, more taxes, much more tax was collected than was due in order to pad the pockets of those who were doing the collecting. Zacchaeus cheated people out of their hard-earned income, and he was despised because of it. He was also despised because he was considered unclean. As a tax collector, he came in contact with not only Jews, but also with Gentiles. And Gentiles were considered unclean, and anyone who had contact with them was likewise considered unclean. It might be similar to how someone with AIDS was treated 30 years ago. Or it might be similar to how someone who is African American was treated by whites, particularly in the South in the 1950s. And perhaps even still today. The community didn't know Zacchaeus at all, and yet they considered him to be a sinner, and they ostracized him. And then one day, Jesus is traveling through Jericho, and Zacchaeus heard that he is passing through, and he wants to go and see him. And this crowd gathers, and he is straining, and he can't see above the crowd. Picture Danny DeVito. And then all of a sudden, he sees this tree down the road, and so it's a sycamore tree, and he knows that if he can just get to that tree, that he will be able to have a sight line to Jesus. So as soon as he sees that tree, he picks up his robe, and he runs down the road, and he climbs this tree so that he might be able to have a sight line to Jesus. Now, as if Zacchaeus wasn't already enough of an outcast, his actions that day exposed him to even more ridicule, because he ran to this tree, and no dignified grown man would ever run in public. And he also climbed this tree, and no one of importance would ever climb a tree. But he does. And oh my goodness, Jesus glances in his direction. He stops and looks right at Zacchaeus, and immediately he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. Come down at once, for I must go to your house today." Zacchaeus jumped out of that tree and was happy to welcome Jesus. And then almost as quickly, the people begin to grumble. That Jesus, he is going to the house of a sinner. They didn't even know Zacchaeus, but they have branded him a sinner. Jesus, on the other hand, says, "Today, salvation has come to your household, because you Abraham. Zacchaeus received salvation not because of anything that he has done, but because he is a child of God. How often do we predetermine when someone is a sinner, when we don't even know them? We already decide that we don't like a person or a type of person when we don't even know them. We join in or even simply remain silent, which is just as dreadful. When we hear the murmuring of the crowd, "He's a rich tax collector. She's gay. He's a Muslim. She's undocumented. He's from..." What would it mean for us to get to know someone without casting judgment? That was certainly the way of Jesus. Jesus shared meals with those who were sinners. He hung out with people who were considered clean, unclean. He even stayed at the home of this tax collector. He didn't just eat with this tax collector. He spent the night in his home. What would it look like for us to get to know someone without prejudging them? Years and years of social science have shown that personal contact with members of groups you are unfamiliar with is the most effective way to dispel prejudice. Most recently, a study by Stanford and Berkeley researchers demonstrated that as little as 10 minutes of non-confrontational encounter with a person from a different background has lasting effect in breaking down bias. So I want to show you an experiment where they did just that. This video was shared in a clergy group that Steve and I were a part of, the group that went to Northern Ireland last fall. We were learning about conflict resolution, about peacemaking and bridge building. Now, first a disclaimer, this is a commercial. It's a Heineken commercial. And in a few brief moments, they cover a lot of hot topics. But I invite you to take a look and to think about what it means to build bridges and how building bridges and relationships can change us.
I would describe my political views as the new right.
I say that I'm left.
Feminism today is man-hating.
I would describe myself as a feminist, 100%.
I don't believe that climate change exists.
We're not taking enough action on climate change.
I think it's about time these people got off the high horse and started looking for credible problems that actually exist.
It's absolutely critical that trans people have their own voice.
That's not right. You can't, you know, you're a man, be a man, or you're a female, be a female.
Women do need to remember that we need you to have our children.
Could I be friends with someone that says a woman's face is in the home?
Right, okay, well, I'm an expert at flat packs. If you have any trouble, just watch me.
So it looks like I've got your instructions here.
I think so.
Let me help you. Let's have just that bit there. Describe what it is like to be you in 5 adjectives.
Okay, frustrating.
Dedicated.
Opinionated.
Lucky.
Ambitious.
Offensive.
Solemn. I have ups and downs.
Strong.
I want to say attacked. Misunderstood.
Name three things you and I have in common.
We're both male, we're both confident, and we're both loudly spoken.
We know each other better than people who've known each other for 10 minutes should.
You seem quite ambitious and positive, and you've got this really, got a glow. Do you know what I'm saying? Your aura's pretty cool.
I'm sensing. Are you former military or something?
People have said that, but there is no,
really?
There is no history. So are you then?
Ex-military? Yeah.
If you're ex-military, I'm very proud of you already.
Well.
I grew up in a bit of a rough state. I've experienced homelessness. I've known what it's like to have absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely most grateful just for life.
We've only just met, but I think you're the sort of person that would listen to me and we'd have a discussion rather than argue.
Yeah, you could hang out with, man. Let's go. Got a chance?
For the sake.
You're right, mate.
Fitter than I look.
Perfecto.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So basically, I think we just bought a bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here. Each take a bottle and place it on its corresponding markings on the bar.
Attention, please now stand to watch a short film.
Feminism today is definitely an excuse for misandry, man-hating.
If somebody said to me that climate change is destroying the world, then I'd say that is total piffle.
So transgender, it is very odd. We're not set up to understand or see things like that.
I am a daughter. A wife. I am transgender.
I feel like the battle for feminism definitely isn't done. The fight is never going to be over, if I'm honest with you.
You now have a choice. You may go, or you can stay and discuss your differences over a beer.
I'm only joking.
You're happy for a second, Ed.
Well, I'm having a drink.
I'm having a drink.
Yeah.
I want to discuss.
Beer.
Yeah, beer and discuss.
Cheers.
At the end of the day, mate.
About reaching out to people, yeah. And, you know, even if you wanted to convince people about your point, the productive thing to do would be to sit down and have a beer.
Just engage.
I've been brought up in a way where everything's black and white. But life isn't black and white.
Yeah, I'm just me.
Yeah.
Smash the patriarchy.
I'll give you my mobile number, you give me yours, and we'll keep in touch. I'd have to tell my girlfriend that I'll be texting another girl. She might get upset with that, but I'll have to get round to it.
I'll have to tell my girlfriend.
Getting to know one another is certainly the first step in building bridges, in establishing relationships. And of one thing I am very confident, each of the people in this commercial is precisely the type of person with whom Jesus would have been hanging out, sharing a meal, sharing a conversation, and extending the love and grace of God. The first letter to John says this: whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. When I was in seminary, I did an internship at Trinity United Methodist Church. I have this thing with Trinities, I think, in downtown Atlanta. It was directly across the street from the Capitol, and they ran a night shelter and a soup kitchen. I was sent there to do an internship and to be there one evening a week for a semester. I didn't really know what to expect when I went to that setting. I arrived at 5:30 on my first day, 5:30 in the afternoon, and by 5:30, downtown Atlanta was already a ghost town with very few cars or people on the street. And I was told to go to the back door of the building down to the basement. And as I approached the back door, there were a group of men gathered there. All of of them black, all of them unkempt and dirty looking, and I was a 23-year-old young female who looked more like I was 12. I was intimidated and even a little frightened. And I walked through the group to knock on the back door. I said nothing to them and they said nothing to me. And the staff person let me in, but not the rest of the men because it wasn't yet time for the shelter to open. And that night, my role was to finish preparing, helping to prepare dinner, and then serve dinner to each of them as they sat at tables to refill their drinks and to get them seconds. And then in the evening, to do their laundry. So all of the men went to the showers and reappeared again in athletic shorts and t-shirts. And for the rest of the evening, I did their laundry. I also sat in the one room that we had with them as they played cards and watched TV and had conversation. It was uncomfortable, to say the least. Me and 16 black homeless men. I continued to go every Wednesday night, every Thursday night, and as I did that, I got to know these men, and they got to know me. I would continue to do their laundry every week, and by the end, I knew exactly which clothes belonged to which men. We began to share stories and build relationships and laugh together. Two things happened every week after that first week. One, I did their laundry. And two, each night, as I was leaving at about 10 o'clock, one of the men would walk me out to my car and open the door and put me in to make sure that I was safe. When I left and had finished my semester there, my heart ached for these men. They had gotten to know me, and I had gotten to know them. And we had become friends. And that's what I am challenging you to do today. Don't make judgments when you haven't learned somebody's story. Don't cast aspersions when you haven't walked in someone else's shoes. Don't sit silently when someone else casts aspersions. Be careful not to make yourself the judge and the jury about whether someone is righteous or not. Leave that to Jesus and follow his example. 1st, start simply by calling someone by name. Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus, you come down. 2nd, share a meal with someone. When was the last time you invited someone to your home to share a meal who was of a different race or a different religion or had very different political or social or views on political or social issues? I challenge you right now to think of someone that you can invite to dinner. And finally, guard your heart and your tongue. Pay attention to how you feel about others and watch what you say about others. Or even when you remain silent, when others say something that betrays their prejudice. We are all children of God, and we are called to love. By the grace of God working in our lives, may we all have the strength to love. Holy Spirit, come. Our hearts control. Our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are free.
A shared meal. It is an intimate thing, which is precisely why Christ invites us to his table. For this table is a place where he knows our story and is able to transform and redeem us. Catherine preached about having strength to love, to really love like Christ loves. I was reminded of a contemporary songwriter, David Crowder, who wrote this. The problem is this. We were bought with a kiss, but the cheek still turned, even when it wasn't hit. And I don't know to do with a love like that. And I don't know how to be a love like that. The truth is we aren't able to manufacture that kind of love without the grace of God flowing in and through us. And this table is meant to be both an invitation and a means of grace that strengthens us to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves in ways that glorify God and bring about healing and wholeness. And so Christ took the bread, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread and on this juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ that makes us the body of Christ for all the world. Make us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world. We come to this table knowing that you know our story, and yet you also know our potential. We come as both sinner and child of God to open our hands to receive your grace and to be strengthened and renewed in every fiber of our being. Renew our thinking, renew our actions, renew our habits, clean out our prejudices, unveil where we need to grow. And by your Holy Spirit, may we have the courage to go deeper. Deeper in our faith and deeper in our relationships with those that we have shied away from. Give us your strength to love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those hurting us over with us to go ahead and come forward now to the altar. Everyone is invited to come and to receive at the Lord's table because it is Christ's table. So you don't need to be a member of our church or any church. Come as you are. Christ longs to meet you as you are and help you to become who he created you to be. And as you come forward today, we invite you to come beginning in the front rows, making your way back in each section. You'll come forward to the servers who are in front of your section. We'll tear off a piece of bread. We'll hand it to you. You'll dip that into the cup and eat it. And you are welcome to come and kneel and pray. Or you can return by the right side of your seat and listen to the music. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. God longs to strengthen us to love as he created us to love. So come and become who God created us to be. If you need gluten-free, it's on either side. Just let us know. Come, all is ready.
We'll be right back.
Lord, having been fed at your holy table and tasted that you are sweet and good, may your grace continue to work in us, open our eyes where we have been blind, and help us to see others the way you see them, and help us to grow deeper in our strength to love, because you have loved us first. In Jesus' name.
As you go out today, may the Holy Spirit be with you. As we are errand runners for God, may the power of Christ be with you. May you build bridges and establish relationships and share the love and the grace of God, knowing that the love of God, the grace of Jesus,